Any redistribution or reproduction of any part or all of the contents in any form is prohibited, except, who the hell are we kidding? Distribute it, share it, put it in your podcast, broadcast it, or put it on social media. Just give credit where credit's due.
Welcome into another episode of We're Talking Today. Nick White, voice of the ULM Warhawks. Huge win this weekend, but we're going to wait to get to that. How are you doing today, Nick?
I'm doing good, man. It's been a great weekend. And, you know, we're still smiling on Tuesday, I guess, when we're recording this. So it's been a great couple of days here in Monroe.
I bet it has been. How are the boys doing? I noticed it's football season from your Facebook page.
Yeah, my sons are doing great, and you know they are in football season right now, and I'm not coaching. This is the first time I haven't coached my kids ever, and I stepped away this year, had some health issues, back surgery back in July, and so really physically couldn't do it, and so I'm actually kind of getting to be a dad, if that makes sense. But I do miss coaching my kids. I've always coached them in football, basketball, baseball, and that's tough for the job that I have, but I've always found a way to try to pull it off. But watching them from the sidelines is a little bit different, but you get a different perspective, and it's just been awesome to kind of be a dad.
Yeah, I bet it is. I don't have any little ones, and I do remember going to my nieces and nephews' ball games, and that was always fun. I can see from going from coaching just to being the dad, that's kind of you want to tell them something that you can't probably until after the game.
I'm doing a good job. I'm doing a good job at that. Yes, I'm doing a really good job on that so far. So we'll see. We'll see if I can continue.
Well, good deal, man. One last question, personal. Well, I guess two. Are you from Monroe, and did you go to ULM? Or
I didn't. I actually went to Louisiana Tech. I'm originally from Farmerville. So guys, Jamarius, Williams,
Jamarcus Williams.
Played at Union. I actually called their state championship game back in 2013. My nephew played for them, and so I was able to do that and still do the ULM stuff. But went to a private school, Cedar Creek, for high school in Ruston. Went to Louisiana Tech, and then it's kind of how I've been around the area my whole life, and it's tough to get these jobs, obviously, as you know, with Jay and yep. And everybody in our league, and we all work hard. And you know, I really got lucky just being local and getting into broadcasting so young, and just turned 40. I've been doing it for nearly 20 years now, and got recognized by the associate athletic director at ULM at the time, Doug Mosley. Got me started doing basketball at ULM, and then I went to do baseball, and then Frank Hoffman, who did football here for 42 years, he finally decided to retire, and I started picking up back in 2015 doing road games. He kind of didn't want to travel anymore, and then he fully retired. And so in 18, I took over. I guess you never become the voice of the Warhawks or the Cajuns or anything until you get football. And so I guess exactly. Those reins were finally handed over. I did step away from baseball a few years ago just because of my sons, and that was not an easy decision, but the travel in baseball is so tough. And so Learfield was able to work with us and kind of keep the compensation similar. And so we were able to work it out. That's kind of a little quickie bio on me.
Well, I'll tell you, I told you one more personal question, but I'm going to ask two. How difficult is it for basketball? Because I tell you, I think I could call a baseball game. I'm very knowledgeable about baseball.
Yeah.
Football is slow enough where I think I could somewhat call it and sound intelligent. But basketball, to watch you and Jay and the others, just totally amazes me, man.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, basketball is my favorite sport to call. I think part of it is just – I think that's where basketball is a sport where you don't get a lot of time to prep. You do for the, like, say, in conference, okay? We get a little time for the Thursday games, but then you got a quick turnaround for the Saturday games. But once you get into basketball, I mean, football prep, I put in, you know, 20 to 30 hours a week getting ready for a football game, you know, by building charts and things like that. And so basketball, you know, you kind of got a day, essentially, and you kind of spend all day, maybe, you know, if you got a little time. But it's more about, you really have to prep, you have to study, and you can't depend on your chart as much. So, and it's so fast moving, but that's what I like. I like college basketball because until we started with these dumb replays all the time, which we're seeing so much in football too, but you know, you can get in and out of a college basketball game in an hour 45 to two hours, you know, and obviously we have our pregame and postgame. So I'm looking at a 3-hour broadcast essentially. And then you go home. You kind of know when you're going to go home. Football drags out sometimes. Baseball, you never know whenever that's going to end. But I love basketball, and that's coming up here very soon. In fact, 3 weeks from today, I believe, the season starts. We'll open up at LSU, and then we go to Auburn on the Friday, the first Friday of the basketball season. But I love it. I think it's where a broadcaster really gets to show his talent. And, you know, you have to be on top of your game. You know, one of the things I do, and some of my colleagues are better at it than I am. A lot of them can find a way to tweet during you only get 1 minute, you know, as far as our media timeouts. And
right.
I'm not fast enough. I got fat thumbs. So I just kind of put my phone away. I just do. And I do have the scoreboards up, especially in league games. But I try to lock in and focus on any game that I'm calling. Sometimes you can't do that totally, but I try to put my phone away and really try to lock in on the games.
I think two things now. The SIDs are doing a good job of tweeting during the game. It's not relying, yes, on the broadcasters as much as it was in the past, or the fans. Second thing is replay. I think they need to do like Major League Baseball does. It goes to somebody outside, put the headphones on, safe out, let's move on. Not this stuff.
I agree.
This guy's looking at a little screen. There's no reason for the referee to run to the sideline. So.
Well, here's in our game against Georgia State, I've never had to mark off. There were six total targeting calls in the game. We ended up with four ejections total, two for Georgia State, two for ULM. One of them was buzzed in from Birmingham because we have the agreement, right, with the SEC, and they buzzed in, and it turned out. And I understand targeting, and I understand you got to get this stuff right, but – you know, we had a football game that was a blowout that still, you know, was nearly 4 hours long because of all these reviews, and basketball is getting that way. And, you know, I could sit here and whine and complain. I'm too old school, I guess. I'm starting to sound like Jay Walker if I start whining and complaining too much out there, you know. So.
Jay just left the house. We just recorded a segment. So I know we only got you for about 11 more minutes here. So let me Let me ask, let's move on to football. Let's move on. Let's talk about Terry Bowden, what he's meant to the, yeah, program, and then talk about this victory over Liberty. What, you know, not to be demeaning, but last year y'all never led. That's got to be rough and depressing season. So, I mean, I know it's more, I know you're happy more than that. You just never led last year because you're happy for the program in general, being a team like Liberty. So,
yeah, and you'll see Liberty, you know, in a few weeks down in Lafayette, and that's a outstanding football team. And to be honest with you, I didn't see it coming. I mean, 32.5-point underdogs. I'd seen at one point it was 33.5, and you know, whenever we were getting ready for our broadcast, we have breakfast on Friday mornings and with our crew. And we were kind of, you know, we get prepared and, you know, we weren't really prepared for the blowout against Georgia State. We said, okay, we need to get some blowout prep for the second half. We had interview, it was Hall of Fame weekend. So we had interviews lined up and we scratched those obviously. And we just got in and locked in on the game. What Terry has done, he's really doing a nice job of just, you know, motivating people, motivating his football team, number one, but motivating the city. It's the first time that I can recall so much buzz coming into a season, and you're exactly right. Did not lead for a second last year. And yes, it was depressing to go through that season. And nobody was happier than I was whenever that last game against Troy finally got canceled. We just didn't have enough guys. We literally against Arkansas State, just the way the season went last year, we had 13 guys available defensively against Arkansas State. I mean, that's how low we were on the on just bodies. I think we traveled 50 players up there. So it was a miserable year. So just to have a lead this year against Kentucky, just to, you know, beat Jackson State, a really good Jackson State team, you know, really, really good, much better than what people would ever anticipate out of a SWAC school. And, you know, then to beat Troy, the, you know, 24-point underdogs in that ball game. And then you go and you get blown out by Coastal and you get blown out by Georgia State. And so there wasn't a whole lot of hope and expectations going into that Liberty game, but you've heard the call, and I don't get too emotional or, you know, a yeller or a screamer. I try not to. And my color analyst apologizes because he got in on the call. We were all so excited from that, just that win, because we've seen those things happen. How many kicks have we missed down in Lafayette in recent years? How many kicks have we missed up here against the Cajuns? Yep. You know, we should have been, you know, going to the division title, had a chance for a couple bowl games. And it's always in that south end zone too. And you know, you say what you will and, you know, say you curse or whatever, you know, whatever Terry's done, he's brought a different attitude, a different mindset to the fans, to the players. And, you know, there's so many diehard fans, really true diehard fans. And there weren't a lot there as far as fans on Saturday. And I joked in post game, 30,000 people say they were in Malone Stadium this Saturday, but we all know who was actually here. And it was the diehards. And so to see the celebrations, the videos, I got so many friends that have just been through thick and thin and been through hell with this program. And myself included. I mean, I'm 12 years here at ULM, and there hadn't been a whole lot of great moments out there. I'm just being honest. And so it's a win, and I think the team's done a good job of putting it past them. I don't think the fans have yet. I certainly haven't. I'm still enjoying it and celebrating it. But it was a fun night, one of the funnest nights I can recall, just being in the booth and calling that game. It's the biggest win I've called at ULM. I had people ask me, you know, where does that rank? And I said, probably number one. I mean, they weren't top 25 ranked, but they were close. They were on the brink, and you know, they should have been undefeated. 32.5-point underdogs, biggest upset since 2012 in college football. I'd say that ranks up there for me right now as number one. It was just awesome.
So a 53-yard field goal, and I love your color guy going, that would have been good from 54.
And it would have been. That's about it, man. If you've seen the video, that thing just barely got over. And but hey, the good Lord was on our side that night, I guess, and gave us a little extra push.
You mentioned, though, let's go back a little bit, the Jackson State game. I've watched you guys all year long. I've got three TVs with college football on. Your game is always on. May not be listening to you guys all the time, but at the end of the game, for some reason, I left it on. Then I realized they had Terry Bowden and Deion Sanders coming over, and I didn't realize until that moment what that meant for the two of them.
Yeah.
No, I don't know how much you got. I mean, I got a tear in my eye, and I can imagine the two of them talking, I guess, you know.
Yeah. And Deion actually spoke at Bobby Bowden's funeral, as did Terry. And so they actually didn't get to communicate a whole lot, but they did leading up to that ball game. And you know, Bobby Bowden was planning to be at the game until, you know, we were actually at Sunbelt Media Day whenever the news came out. And I was talking to Terry about it at breakfast down there, and he was a little upset that it leaked out. And that's, you know, some of the issues I got with journalism now, and that there's not any personal respect, I don't think, anymore. People just want to put stuff out there. And so they had to get ahead of the story. That's why I got out there. But, you know, nonetheless, that we had a lot of stuff planned because Bobby was there. His mom was there. Terry's mom was there. Deion got to spend some time with her and all that. So it was a special moment. And as Terry joked about, he was probably the worst player that ever played for his father at Florida State. But Deion was certainly the best player that ever played for him. And it was just a cool moment to have him on campus. And look, I'm a believer in what Deion Sanders is doing and what Jackson State. That is a good – I mean, they had an SEC front four, SEC front four, power five, front seven, total, across the board, ACC guys, SEC guys. We struggled against them, and we were really fortunate to get that win. But it was a special moment there with Deion and Terry, just the Bowden connection there with Florida State.
Well, I'm a huge Deion fan. He played for the Reds, who are my team, and he's a much different persona on the baseball field than he is.
Yes.
And I think which is closer to him than what he was on the football field, having met him also. So
well, and then you and a lot of people forget his baseball career. Yeah. You know, we talked about it obviously leading into that game, but a lot of people don't remember his time. A lot of people will remember him with the Braves probably and forget he was with the Yankees as well and then the Reds. But what an athlete. And I got a lot of respect for what he's doing down the road.
Well, I saw him in the Sugar Bowl. I forgot who Florida State played that year, but I saw him in the Sugar Bowl, was there in New Orleans. And one of the best athletes I've seen live, quite honestly. The only one that I would say that would be better is Bo Jackson. Huge Bo Jackson fan.
Yeah. So, oh my goodness. What a freak. What a God-given, just unbelievable talent there with Bo Jackson.
Well, last thing here, and you mentioned it a little bit. I don't think people understand guys like you and Jay and Danny Reed, for that matter too, that aren't, you know, you're not a ULM grad, but
right.
I mean, you hurt for when the team, I mean, you, when something happens to the program, you hurt as much as any alum or any player or anyone that's been there. I think I don't think people understand that the heart that you put into it, the prep time and everything. You're a professional, but at the same time, you got feelings too, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it becomes your school. I mean, that's, you know, Jay asked Jay, he's, you know, synonymous now with the Cajuns. And, you know, I've got 12 years in and, you know, every once in a while, I'll still hear from people about, you know, going to Tech and all that. And you know, I'd hear it if I was in down there as well. Yep. or whatever, but it's college athletics. There's 129 of these jobs in the country. And I'm blessed to have one of them. And we have such a great broadcast group here in our conference. And so we're all great friends. We bust each other's chops, but we celebrate with each other. We mourn with each other whenever we've had losses and you know, as far as family. And so we all respect what we do, but as far as that, it doesn't matter. I mean, there's not a whole lot of coaches that went to the same school they're coaching at. And that's, you know, I'll tell this one story. The most famous coach and put up on lore here at ULM is going to be Pat Collins. Well, Pat Collins went to Louisiana Tech and he coached at Louisiana Tech and wanted the Louisiana Tech job and didn't get it and came to ULM and kicked their you know what a lot and won a national championship in 1987. And so I had a booster fan just gave me crap all the time about, you know, your techies and this and blah, 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 blah. And I finally, because Pat, I was at an event that Pat was there. And I finally I said, I can't remember exactly how I put it, but he said something about Tech or whatever. And I can't believe, you know, you're here at ULM. And I said, I just pointed over there. I said, why don't you go tell Pat Collins that same thing over there? And he kind of looked at me. He's like, oh, he's like, I'll never do that. And I said, well, then leave me alone about it. It doesn't matter. Like, I have more pride in ULM than a lot of ULM alums. And so, yes, I hurt whenever you go through the losses and the season and it depresses me, but it also makes me very happy whenever you have great moments like we did this past Saturday. So I think the people that know me best, they know where my heart's at. I've had other opportunities just like anybody, just like Jay's had and Danny and others. And this is my home. This is where my kids are. And Lord willing, I'm going to keep being the voice of the Warhawks for as long as I can do it. And as long as they'll have me and keep me, I want to stay here. And I really love this place.
Good deal, Nick. Thank you for your time today. And I will say this, I feel blessed to know you and Danny and Jay and all the other guys that I've met across the conference. I appreciate all of you that take the time to come on here and talk sports and talk life, because it's all about life, brother. Sports is just
That's it, man.
A microcosm.
That's it. It's about the relationships that you have and the friendships you develop through these sports and through these things. And we are a big family, and you're one of the good guys out there as well, man.
Thank you, Nick. You've been listening to We're Talking with Craig Malosso on Voice of the ULM Warhawks, Nick White. Thanks again, Nick.